amithejerk1310@gmail.com is where you send those. Now, a couple of follow-ups, because last week, Travis witnessed an accident right in front of him.
Indeed.
But then he kind of went around because, you know, a little late for work. Don't want to be right. late for work.
You got places and, to be, man.
Right. You have things to do. And I think we all came to the conclusion that since it wasn't like a major fender bender, that we probably would have done the same thing. Maybe you were okay. Man, we got a couple of emails saying no, no, no.
Yeah, it turns out I might have messed that one up.
Yeah, saying, yeah, guys, apparently. Just heard your colleague talk about seeing the accident and not stopping. That's sorry, because if the pickup driver fights this, the victim has to prove it was the pickup's fault. And what's the easiest way to prove it? Eyewitness accounts. It takes 2 minutes to stop, give the victim your phone, email, and be on your way. That way, the victim can tell insurance that there are unbiased third-party witnesses who can back up the victim's account, and it makes it an open and shut case. I've done this before, and the insurance company will call you in a week or two, ask you what you saw, and it's done in 10 or 15 minutes. And think about it. What if you were the victim? Wouldn't you want other people to help you out and make your life easier by backing up your version of events?
Travis, what if you were the victim?
I feel like I've definitely been the victim in these situations, and I don't remember ever collecting any eyewitness accounts, and insurance paid out just fine. They were also right in front of a gas station that no doubt has 24/7 surveillance, so I feel like that'd be a lot more reliable than some nerd that works on a radio station, don't you think?
Well, I am afraid Travis might be a jerk regarding his testimony this morning. Being a witness for an accident is huge when insurance is involved.
Huge.
Without witness testimony, insurance will deny claims simply saying there is no proof, even if normal traffic flow, etc., makes things obvious. My son had this happen. The accident could have only happened the way he explained, which was not his fault, but the other driver's insurance denied the claim because they said there was not video or witnesses. Sorry, Travis, but you should have helped.
That's true. It goes back to the old phrase, it doesn't matter what you know, it matters what you can prove. I mean, I'm curious about the witness thing, though, because just to play devil's advocate, in that situation, say Travis stops, gives his information, doesn't wait for the cops, and is like, hey, let me know if you need me, here's my stuff, I'm out. Why couldn't you just call a friend and be like, hey, nobody stopped to be a witness for me,
indeed.
I'm going to use you as my witness.
Your name is Travis,
right?
Because this guy gave me the information.
He doesn't know.
Right.
Right? So couldn't anybody just say, I saw it? Like, if you don't stay to talk to the cops, how can they prove you were actually there?
Do you have to put your hand on the Bible and raise your right hand and say, do you promise to tell the truth?
What if you're not religious and you don't
care?
They
swear you in at the insurance company.
They don't. They don't. They don't have a little Geico Bible that when you go
a
there.
A little Geico Bible.
And it's only official if the little gecko is the one issuing the issuing your
right.
Your
if he's like the bailiff. They have a gecko bailiff.
I got lucky at things, though. The one wreck that I've been in that I T-boned somebody because they ran a light, the car behind them was a cop and saw the whole thing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is lucky.
If you're a cop, you have to stop.
And he did. I mean, he was immediately throws on his lights, and he was the first guy that came to my car, and I was like, what the? It wasn't my fault. He goes, oh, I got it all. Don't worry. I was like, okay, thanks.
All right. So there you go, Travis. You are, from last week, a jerk.
All right. I'll wear this one.
Good morning, Invasion. This past weekend, I came across an observation that I had never really noticed. My neighbors get their lawn serviced by a company, and I noticed when given the final touches, the workers just blow the clippings into everyone else's yard and the street.
Oh, they do.
Who's the jerk here? And what's the protocol? Can I blow mine onto his house next week?
It's so true, man. I see that all the time. And, you know, I wonder, because when I edge my yard and mow and whatnot, I always try to go afterwards and take the blower and blow the
clippings,
remnants and all that back into the yard. But then sometimes I blow it into the street, and generally speaking, overnight, when you wake up, it's all gone. I mean, it's...
Now, this may not be the correct protocol, so I'm just going to put that out here now. But I feel the street is fine. I feel blowing it into someone else's yard is where you start entering jerkdom.
As long as you're not blowing it in clumps into the street, like you kind of give it a nice spread so there's not just chunks of grass in the street, I think
right.
You're totally fine doing that in the street.
I mean, it's going to... Literally, the winds overnight will disperse it wherever it goes. I mean, it's...
Whoa! No, that's true. But to intentionally just, you have the blower and you're blowing it in someone else's yard without right. any.
That's sorry.
That's right. very sorry. That is the highest level of jerkdom right there.
A couple of weeks ago, our neighbors had their lawn company come out and do the first mow of the year, and they picked some of their some of the weeds out of their yard. And you might think, yeah, they probably just threw those in the trash. No, they threw them all in my yard.
There was five
pulled weeds in my yard.
I have my own collection,
but still, that's how I did. 100% I threw them back in their
yard.
That's
so strange, because when I pull weeds out of my yard, since my yard's basically weeds, I just mow over them and try to chop it up.
Yeah, you have to bag it. If you're pulling weeds, you bag them
and put
those out on the curb. You're not throwing just pulled weeds into someone's yard. That's where you get a knock on the door. I may have the five weeds in my hand and knock on the door. It's like, come on,
you drop these.
What are we doing?
Because if you do just leave the weed in the yard, like I do sometimes, but you should bag it because it's just going to disperse all those seeds and stuff sitting in the yard.
All right. So, yes, into someone else's yard is the highest level of jerkdom. In the street, like Travis says, as long as there aren't clumps of grass in the street, I think you're fine with that. That's my
benefit, because the house we live in now, there's nothing behind us. So if I'm in the backyard especially, I just throw stuff over the back fence, like branches and weeds
all my
and
tree
stuff.
Clippings go behind the
house. Because there's nothing behind us. It's just
like
woods.
Just woods. Okay.
Yeah, and then the train track, obviously. I wish there was a tree on the train track, but whatever.
Don't do that.
All right, here we go. I drive up to fast food place for lunch and park in one of its many stalls. As I'm waiting for food, I notice an unhoused person meandering about the parking lot. After getting my food and getting ready to leave, I see the person in their shopping cart moved behind my car. Right next to the car, but close enough that I can't get out. Unsure how to proceed, I slowly start backing up a little to see if they get the message. The person either doesn't notice or doesn't care, and I proceed to back out a little bit more. The person continues not to move, and I give a short honk trying to get their attention. I repeat this one more time before the person finally moves on. Am I the jerk for honking?
Nope.
Should I have just waited for them to move? This is from Ryan Baldwin.
Baldy, you were not a jerk.
April Fool's Open champion.
I think if somebody's blocking you and you're in a situation like that and they don't seem to notice that you're trying to back up, giving the courtesy, hey, trying to get out here.
It's not a long lay on the honk. If you're giving a short honk, that's to get their attention and go, maybe I'm my bad, and then they'll get out of the way. I think you handled that in the appropriate way.
Yeah, you need more of a beep than a honk, but I think you're in the clear.
Yeah,
that's why all cars need two horns.
Right, the aggressive one and the attention.
And the non-aggressive one.
And then we need some sort of a dispersal thing so we can gas them if need be.
Well, that seems aggressive.
I just always wanted the oil so I could see the car behind me.
Like on Spy
Hunter.
Yeah, like Mario
behind
Kart?
Me. No. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Spy Hunter was a video game that the car in Spy Hunter could shoot out oil or could shoot out smoke or gas or whatever.
Turtle shells.
Yeah.
I just want oil. So I want to see the car kind of slide behind me if they're tailgating me. You just one push of a button and the oil is behind them and they lose control a bit. And why does oil always work? It's that slippery.
Yes. Have you ever had it?
No.
I just feel like oil on the road behind you, you'll just go over. You won't just all of a sudden just...
It depends on how much there is.
And how thick it is, I guess.
Yeah, what does how have you ever had it mean in this context?
Like oil at all? Yes, we've all probably bought oil at some point.
No, like oil on you, like on your hands or whatever. It's really slippery.
What are you oiling up?
All kinds of things, man.
Your sauerkraut?
There's all kinds of different oil.
What oil would you put in your shooter behind your car?
my shooter?
That was worse than what he said.
I don't know. Here
comes my shooter.
What kind of oil you put in your little stinger when you throw it up?
Okay.
All right, am I the jerk
for
this
good way
week?
To get rid of it, though. Little stinger comes out and oil shoots out of it.